I have a memory. I have something that's wonderful that most of you don't have. Because in 1967, I remember when I became a U.S. citizen. And most of you can't remember the day you became a U.S. citizen. Because you were a bambino. Am I right?
Yep, yep.
It was a very proud day for me. Growing up in another country, it never occurred to me that one day I could be or would be a U.S. citizen. It was a wonderful day, and I was very grateful to be a U.S. citizen. I still am. I still am. I was sitting quietly looking at the flag outside a couple of days ago and thinking of what it means and what it has meant to so many people. And the symbolism in the flag, what it stands for, and the simpler symbolism of how it was put together. We all know the stars and stripes, alternating stripes, represent the 13 colonies. 7 red, 6 white stripes representing the original 13 colonies. And then we have the 50 stars and a blue background, giving us the red, white, and blue, giving us the stars and stripe. 50 stars for the 50 states. But I was sitting there looking at it and thinking that this is the country that has done the most to support the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world for what? I don't know. Certainly 100 years, maybe 150 years. Didn't have time to research that. But they have been the mainstay of the gospel for a long, long time now. And as I looked at the flag and I saw the red and the white, I was thinking the red to me represents the blood of Jesus and the white is how he's washed us clean from all sins. Reminiscent of the candy cane, right? Mm-hmm. Christmas candy cane. Mm-hmm. Red and white stripes. And the stars. God wants stars. He wants overcomers. He wants out of this wonderful country to come very wonderful people who are stars, stars in his kingdom, stars in the army of God, up in a blue background. And we all know that purple represents the royalty of God, the majesty. But what does the blue represent? And you'll find that the blue, purple, and the scarlet go together in many places. The walls, the linen walls of the tabernacle of Moses, those are the colors. The veil that separates the Holy of Holies from the holy place, those are the colors. Blue, purple, blue, and scarlet. The same colors. And blue represents the Holy Spirit and authority. So here we have the stars who are going to be star-dumbing through the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. How wonderful. And yes, the flag means to me all the things it means to all patriotic Americans. But behind it, I see the hand of God. I see the hand of God upon this country. Not just for the wonderful things for the gospel that the United States has done, but what I'm praying that it will do in the ending days. We know that when President Nixon, who was not one of my favorite presidents, that when the nation of Israel was almost overrun by the Arab attacks, he gave a major airlift of weapons to Israel, and that really saved them. And to this day, he's just an absolute hero to the Israelis. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, when the beast goes after those who believe in Jesus and the Jews, they're the wings of an eagle that take them to safety. Not all of them, but take the ones that are trying to escape. And I'm praying and believing that this country will be the strong country that will provide an airlift, that will bring them here safely from the persecution that's going to come up on the nation of Israel, up in the Middle East, that will be so bad, it will be the worst time of persecution and death and destruction in the history of the world. Which is pretty staggering when you think of what the Holocaust was. So there's a lot of work left to be done, and that's what tonight's teaching is all about. Our foundation scripture is from Matthew 7, verse 14. Jesus says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. This is the words of Jesus. Now, you look at all the people on the earth, they all have one thing in common. They were born, they had life, and they lived out their living. So he's not talking about that natural life, because everybody finds that. No, he's talking about the life that doesn't die. The life that drives out sicknesses and diseases, that drives out devils, demons, evil spirit. The life, which is a connection to God. For Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. He's the Son of God. And He's the way, the truth, and the life. And when we have that intimate relationship with Jesus, then we have access to life. And if we live in the presence of the God, of God, in the presence of the Lord, with that intimate access, that intimate connection to Jesus, we have a straight, narrow way to life. The life that will propel you and me to be here when Jesus returns. That's the goal, to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. But there's a calling upon those who accept that goal. And the calling is, what are you doing it for? Or to put it grammatically, since there are so many teachers here, for what are you doing it? You don't end your sentences with a preposition, right? Yeah. Not if they're teachers listening to you. So, there's a calling. A calling without repentance. You're here at ABC. You're here in this time in the history of the world where there's a major purpose that you and I can serve. And what is that purpose? Well, see, when I was born again, I mean, I knew God was real. I accepted God, I accepted Jesus, I accepted the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. But I did not realize I'd been drafted into an army. I'm in the army of God. And the song we just heard, it is finished. The battle is over. Well, Jesus' battle to defeat Satan is over. The battle is over in that Satan is defeated. But for you and for me, we carry on as a standing army that Jesus left behind to put Satan under our feet. Yes, Satan is defeated. And yes, Satan has no power of his own. But you know, when Satan first came to earth, well, actually, it wasn't the first time he came to earth, but the first time recorded in the book of Genesis when he came to earth, he had no authority and dominion over the earth. All that authority and dominion belonged to Adam, which is exactly where he is today, He has no authority and dominion over the earth. But that didn't stop them. He deceived Eve, and Adam fell straight into it, and all the authority and dominion which God had given to man was turned over to Satan. And today, he no longer has it legally, for Jesus came and defeated him. Remember, Satan took Jesus to the peak of a mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, all these have been delivered unto me. And to whom I will, I can give it. If you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. Because he knew that's why Jesus came. To take over the kingdoms of the world. To be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, ruling on earth. Well, how could Satan do that? Because it had been turned over to him by Adam. So Jesus came as the Lamb of God and died, and by his death and resurrection, he defeated Satan, took away all the authority and dominion, and gave it back to man. Then he left us with the authority and dominion to go back to heaven for a season. Then he'll come back again as Son of Man, as King of Kings, as Lord of Lords. He's coming back as King of Kings, and the Bible says, you have been made kings and priests. We are the kings he's coming back over whom he'll be King of Kings. He's not coming back for the kings of the natural world. He's not interested in that natural power, the political power. He's interested in the spiritual power, the power that resides in his family. So it's coming back as King of Kings. And that's what we're looking forward to, that day when he returns as Son of Man. And it tells us, watch and pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape all the things that are coming up on the earth, and to stand before the Son of Man. So we have something to do. We have to watch and pray always. Diligence. Now, there is an expression that we have used and heard used, let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. And that's what God wants to hear, is let freedom ring. You remember when the United States went into Iraq back in, my gosh, early 90s? Here's a small country, military quite powerful, but a small country. And we spent about 3 months, if I recall, right outside the country, preparing everything to go in. And eventually they went into the country and took it over in, was it 4 or 5 days? Conquered the whole country in 4 or 5 days. So the country was defeated. But enforcing that peace took a long time. Enforcing the peace. Because of terrorists and different challenges. Yeah, so it is finished. Satan is defeated. But you and I are supposed to be enforcing that peace. And the first step in enforcing that peace is to realize we are part of the army of God. We are the standing army of God. And that what you don't want to do is take your weapons and turn it over to the enemy. And we do that when we sin. We turn our weapons over to the enemy. So, let freedom ring has rung out in this country ever since the beginning. People came to this country from England, Britain, Europe, over a long period of time for many reasons. High on that list was for religious freedom. They wanted to be free to make their own mistakes, to do the things they wanted to do correctly, to worship the God they want, how they wanted, to do their own economic system, all the things they came for. Now Luke 14, verse 28 to 31 says, you want to count the cost before you go to war. You want to count the cost before you put up a tower, and before you go to war against an enemy, you want to count the cost and decide, can you win, and what will it take for you to win? Now for us here at ABC, winning is being alive and remaining when Jesus returns, for a host of reasons. If you have not been through all our schools, you won't know the reasons. But one day when you get through them, you will. We want to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. It's not a question of living is better than dying. Because, you know, heaven is a wonderful place. Earth, right now, is terrible and getting worse. So if you had to choose between the two, which I did twice in my life, I chose heaven and said, Lord, I finished the work you brought me here to do. Time for me to come home. Twice. But both times you gave me more work. So, in 1776, as you all know, the United States declared that they were an independent nation, independent of England and anybody else. Recently being, I guess in the 90s, the United Nations affirmed the right for any group of people to declare their independence. Now, of course, the country to which they belong, the people who are over them, may object and call them rebels or terrorists, but they have the right to make that declaration. So the people in the United States made that declaration, declared themselves a country, independent. Declaration of Independence, a wonderful document. Another wonderful document is the Constitution of the United States, and, of course, all the amendments. And the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to for the republic to which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. How wonderful, how powerful these words are. Now, in looking into some of these things, I learned a lot of very interesting facts. Maybe you all know them. But I never realized the first version, you would, of this pledge was written by a socialist. And it was adapted some time later. And in 1942, it was adopted by Congress, and the name Pledge of Allegiance was assumed in 1945, formally assumed in 1945. But it wasn't until 1954 that the words under God was added. 1954. Wasn't very long ago. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and the Republic. That means you're pledging your loyalty, your obedience, and your support. That's wonderful. We should do that for this wonderful country. Our freedom to worship God and pray and do the things to honor our God didn't come, it wasn't free. First, Jesus paid the price that we could be born again. And then people paid the price, a lot of people paid the price, so we can stand here in a country where we can do that. There are many countries where you can't do that. There are many countries still, even more so today, where people are put to death because they're Christians. I remember back around the year 2000, 99, 2000, somewhere around there, I saw live on the internet Christians being beheaded in Indonesia on the internet. So freedom certainly is not free. And as you see the freedom we have in the natural, the price that was paid for it, understand there's a price to be paid for spiritual freedom. And that's what we're really talking about here tonight. So declarations are wonderful, but they don't mean anything unless people have personal commitments to them, or the nation has a commitment to it. And some of the expressions that we've heard that are so wonderful and so emotionally evocative, give me liberty or give me death. Give me liberty or give me death. We understand that in the context of the United States and of government. But think of it in the spiritual context. Give me liberty, give me freedom, or give me death. That's absolutely prophetic. Because there are two final destinations, ultimately. We're going to be sons of God, victorious and overcoming, Revelation 21:7. Or there's a lake of fire. Yes, today, under the age of grace, everybody who's born again, if they were to die under the age of grace, being born again, they would go to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. That's true right now. And there are, you know, great movements on earth today. Great may not be the right word, but huge number of people who are so much into this free grace that they think, okay, so we're going to heaven. Doesn't make any difference what we do. We're born again. We're going to heaven. All our sins have been paid for. We can do whatever we want. That is so terrible. That is setting up the people for defeat and calamity and perhaps eventually eternity in the lake of fire. They don't know it. Because God's people perish for lack of knowledge. Today, every sickness, every disease, every challenge you have today, the foundation of the challenge is a lack of knowledge. If the people who are not saved who are going to hell, the foundation is they're not going to hell because of their sins. The Bible says they're going to hell for one reason only, the rejection of Jesus Christ. Why are they rejecting Jesus Christ? Because they have a lack of knowledge concerning salvation and the blessings of salvation and God. If they knew what we knew, they'd run as fast as they could to get saved. Isn't that true? And if you all knew what I knew, you'd run as hard as I'm running away from sin. You say, well, I don't really commit sins. Well, when people say that, what they really mean is, I don't really commit any carnal sins that I know. Well, let me tell you, carnal sin is just the beginning of understanding your sins, you know. We need to run from sin because we need to run towards Jesus. As Pastor Matthew's done such a wonderful job teaching, you can't just run away, you got to run towards something. It's the running away from the sin and running towards the holiness that makes it work. It's always an action and a reaction. You react to the sin and you run, but the action is you're running towards God, towards Jesus, towards holiness. Okay? You can't just run away from sickness and disease. You got to run towards the healer. We're not just seeking God's blessing. We're seeking the blesser. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So freedom is definitely not free. And as we look around the world, we know most people in the world are not believers. They need to be set free. We are the standing army left behind to put Satan where he belongs. We have a job to do. People keep talking about the end time revival, but we truly need to use the power of the Word of God and the authority and dominion we have in three worlds to launch that revival when it's time for the revival and to set it up for the revival. You know, praying in tongues is a very wonderful thing. One of the most wonderful things you can do is praying in tongues. That's why the devil hates it so much. That's why most Christians don't pray in tongues. Because the devil has convinced them it's nonsense, it's unscriptural, or it's from the devil. That's because they've not taken the time on their own to divide the truth by going through all the scriptures in tongues. If they had, they wouldn't be saying those things. But praying in tongues is not meant to replace knowledge. Nor is it meant to replace your search for knowledge. Praying in tongues is wonderful when A, you don't know how to pray. You don't know what the problem is. Or you don't know what the solution is. But the Word of God has been given to us. And the leading of the Holy Spirit has been given to us. So we learn more and more what the problems are and what the solutions are. So we can take the Word of God and address it directly. Well, as we get more and more into these ending days, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is flooding the earth. That means we're understanding more and more about what the problems are and what the solutions are and how to pray them. More and more our prayers with the understanding, but not the understanding the church has had for the last 2,000 years. No, with the understanding when the books are open in the ending days. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so it is. As we go into these ending days, the prayers that are going to be the most powerful are not the prayers of God praying through you because you don't know anything. No, it's going to be praying in authority and dominion because you do know a lot.
Amen.
And that's where the church is heading. Yes. Not the whole church, but the part of the church that wants to grow and wants to run away from sin and run towards God. That part of the church is heading towards the understanding. Amen. You think that when Jesus returns for 1,000 years, people will be praying in tongues? No. We won't be praying in tongues. We'll be walking in love. But we won't be praying in tongues. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. That is so true. That is so true. Because you and God can do anything. Mm-hmm. You and God are a majority. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. You and Christ Jesus, you are super conquerors. But it's only when we fear and let the words of fear come out of our mouth. And the Bible says, Job said about Job, that which he feared greatly came upon him. Fear, false evidence appearing real. Fear, false evidence appearing real, brings the devil on the scene. Faith brings God on the scene. And in faith, there's no fear. You can't have both. Make your choice. Whose report are you going to believe? The Word of God that says you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus? The Word of God says you and God can do anything? Or are you going to believe what the doctor is telling you, what the circumstances are telling you, what your checkbook is telling you, what the world is telling you? So the cost of living these declarations, anybody can make declarations, but to live them, there's a cost. So I looked at the number of wars and engagements in which this country has participated. And the number, I was astounded, it's 79. Now, of course, it includes everything. It includes campaigns against various Native American tribes. I don't mean skirmishes. I mean, you know, major warfare and going into Nicaragua and things like that. 79. But you know, I really believe that this is a peace-loving country. But when you are strong, and when you're willing to fight for what is right, you tend to have more peace. When you're weak, the bullies tend to push you around. No, we're applying that in the spiritual realm. When you are strong in Christ Jesus, and when you know how to do spiritual warfare, the demons will flee from you and not the other way around. You don't flee from them. But you need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and you need to know and understand the scriptures. Because God wants the demons fleeing from you and wants them under your feet. So here we are, Independence Day, celebrating the independence of this country. Paid for by the blood, sweat, and death of so many people. So as we look at what we have, and what are we going to do with this wonderful freedom that we have? What are we going to do for this country, for the kingdom of God, and for the people of the world, based on what so many have died to give us? If we look at U.S. military deaths, that's defined as people who died in combat and for other things connected with the military. The most one was the Civil War, counting both sides. They were all Americans. 750,000. That's pretty amazing. Second most for combat and other, second most deaths were in World War II, at 405,399. That's a lot of people who've died for the freedom of this country and for the freedom of the world. And those numbers don't include the civilians. And in many cases, the civilian casualty was more than the military casualties. Third highest was World War I at 116,516. That's a lot of people who have died so we can celebrate the fact that this country is still free. If you look at combat deaths only, World War II is highest, 291,557. Civil War second, 214,938. And World War I with 116,708. Seem to be a mistake in the numbers there, okay? Well, they're close, okay? Not exactly sure where the numbers are off, slightly, but for World War I. Now, if you add up the number of combat deaths, not the others, and not the civilian, just the combat deaths, for the 10 largest wars, the number is 721,975. 721,975 people have died for this country. That's a lot of people. And I know we can honor them on Memorial Day, honor the country on July 4th, and we can do the things that we do respectfully for them. But I'm saying there's something much more we can do and we should do. We should take this freedom that's been paid for and use it to live the way that God wants us to live, to make a difference in the ending days. The truth will set you free. The world and this country are full of people who don't know the truth. They are obliviously heading for hell, and they don't want to know the truth. I mean, for a long time, I was one of them. I did not know the truth, and I was interested. As my first mentor, Bishop Rowe, said, my son, that's me, was going to hell in fine style. Yeah, that's right. It's very true. But I got saved because people prayed for me. And we can do the same for people. The more you know is the more you'll realize, the more I know is the more I realize how important it is to pray for others. And to take the knowledge you know and help set them free. From the battle hymn of the Republic, which we sang tonight. As he died to make men holy, that's us. Jesus died so we can be holy. We are born again. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we are supposed to take the righteousness of God, which is a gift, which resides in our spirit, and work it out into our members as holiness. So we become holy, spirit, soul, body, and everything in between. That's what we should be doing. Why? So we can learn to pray and be a potent factor in these ending days. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. That's exactly what I'm trying to say in my own way. Jesus died so we are the standing army. He died so we are holy. He died so we have this authority and dominion and his name. And the battle is finished spiritually. All we have to do is the coup de grace. All we have to do is polish him off, put him on our feet, and keep him there. And we do that by making holiness the target of our life, for he's holy. And walking in that holiness, we take the name of Jesus, the weapons of our warfare, and we crush Satan to the point where demons are afraid to come by your home or your block or your city. I'm totally convinced that demons who come into the city, they want to come because they're forced to come. I'm totally convinced they don't want to come. Because if I were in their position, I wouldn't want to come. So let us live to make men free. Know that God gave us a free will. We are created with a free will. We can choose to do things any way we want, but we should choose to do it his way. Not my way, not the highway, not our way, but do it his way. And that's really said very nicely in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Choose life or death, blessing or cursing. Choose life. Choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. Jesus is life. You want to choose death? People choose death all the time. Because what? Death came with the devil. Death came with the devil. And people choose death all the time. Dying a little by little. Every sin is incremental death. It's creeping death. Flee sins. Choose life and choose blessing. Bless everybody. Bless yourself. Why don't we do that right now? Just say after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you my sins have been washed away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I choose life. I choose blessing. I bless my body. I bless every cell, every organ, every system in my body. And in the name of Jesus Christ, whose I am, and whom I serve, and whom I'm going to serve better, I bind the mercy of God to every cell, to every organ, to every system in my body. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, how do you feel? Any changes? Feel good, right? Praise God, of course. The word of God is true. You bless yourself, you got to feel good. No, life is freedom. Because life is Jesus, and he is freedom. Death is bondage. Death is darkness. And the second death is bound up in the lake of fire for eternity. So let us choose life. Let us choose blessing. Let us choose to speak only words that bring grace to the hearer. Let us choose to walk in the fruit of the Spirit and not in those demonic voices which keep popping into people's minds. Now, unfortunately, we have all done this, and we still continue to do it to some extent. We choose to be in bondage to Satan through sin. But Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Jesus has set us free. We're born again. We're born into the family of God. We've been set free. Don't get entangled into sin and go back into bondage. How do we do that? How do we do that? John 8:34. Jesus answered and said, "Very, verily, I say to you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin." Well, if whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin, then that's what we don't want to do. We want to get set free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of death, so we don't want to be a servant of sin. What do we want to do? Romans 8:2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." In Christ Jesus, you're free from sin. In Christ Jesus, you're free from the effects of sins, which include sickness, disease, infirmity, and eventually death. In Christ Jesus, you're free from the wages of sin and from the law of sin. So in Christ Jesus, if you make a mistake and you sin, you've already been set free from the wages that are sin. Because Jesus took your sins and he took the wages and he took death. So we've been set free from it. We just need to believe it, speak it, and do our best not to sin. Jesus is the way to our freedom. John 8:36. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." So we are born again. Jesus has set us free. Now we continue to walk in that freedom by continuing in the Word. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." See, we're born again. Freedom belongs to us. It's part of our salvation package. But to walk in the blessings of the salvation package, you must know what it contains. And you must know how to partner with God to get it. So you continue in the Word. As you continue in the Word, as you learn more about the Word, as you believe it, speak it, and do it, you get set free in that area. Over the years of my Christian life, I have prayed for so many people who are challenged with sickness and diseases. From people who are just, people who are unbelievers, some who are just recently born again, some who have been Christian for decades and decades. And all of them that I've asked, I haven't asked them all because I gave up after a while, because when I asked them, "Can you tell me two scriptures from the Bible on healing?" the answer was almost always, "No, I can't." No matter how mature they are, no matter how long they've been in church, no matter how much they believe in healing, very few can tell you two healing scriptures. But they can tell you the doctor's phone number and address. Okay. A priority challenge. "If you continue in my word," said Jesus, "then are you my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So here's a choice to continue in freedom. Be a disciple. Just don't be a believer. Yes, all believers under the age of grace, when they die, to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. So if that is true for all believers, what about the disciples? What do the disciples get? They get set free from dying, among other things. Only the disciples, only those who continue in the Word of God, get set free on earth. All believers If they die, we'll go to heaven, to be absent from the bodies, to be to heaven, under the age of grace, where we are right now. But only those who continue in the word, all those who believe, will get set free from dying and be here when Jesus returns. What did Jesus say in John 11, speaking to Martha? John 11, 24 and 25. It says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, even though he were dead, yet shall he live again. That's the resurrection. The life. And he that believes in me, that is alive, shall never die. Why? Because if you believe in him, you continue in the word. If you're alive and you believe in him, you'll be a disciple. And you'll continue in the word. And when you continue the word will keep you alive. And you realize, I don't have to die. It is that simple. The word keeps you alive when you live it and do it. So let us flee sin. Let's do the word. Let's stay alive. And let's respond to our calling. What is our calling? Our calling is, part C, preparing the way for the return of the Son of Man. There's a lot of work to be done. There are a lot of people today who know nothing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Other countries now for the last 10, 15 years have been sending missionaries to the United States. What a sad state of affairs. That this country, which is used to fund, 90% of the missionary work around the world, now need missionaries to come here from Asia and from Africa, primarily, to minister the gospel. How truly sad. But we can change that. We change it with prayer, because with you and prayer and God, all things are possible. Now, we saw that in the 10 major wars, which is by far the largest number, the other wars, the number of deaths was very small, relatively speaking. The number of deaths, combat deaths in the 10 largest wars were 721,975. Just about 750,000. Well, in these ending days, the number of Christian martyrs is currently around 2,000. Earthquake, stop in Jesus' name. Earthquake, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command you to stop right now. That's it. That's it. Thank you. I was wondering what you're all getting excited about. Okay. In these ending days, the number of Christian martyrs is currently estimated at 100,000 per year. You are a soldier in the army of God. You can make a difference. That's one of the major calling in you in these ending days, is to make a difference. That's 2,000 a week. That means in the last 10 years, there have been more Christians martyred than in all the wars of the United States. Doesn't that make you stop and think? And we are in the army of God. And some of us believe that we are part of the church. That's like the growing tip of a tree. We're not like the main body of the church. We don't want to be like the main body of the church, where it took 70 years for the church to accept healing. Basically from 1950s to 2020, for the church to really fully accept healing. Healing. That's just one small step towards what God wants us. No. We want it more and more. That's why you're here in a church that pushes out so much word. Because God wants us to grow up and start changing the world. We are the ambassadors of heaven and earth. We are strangers in a strange land. This is not our home. We're not carnally minded. We're set on spiritual things. Because we're the ambassadors of heaven and earth. 2 Corinthians 5:21. That we're not subject to the laws and challenges of this earth. That's why we've been set free from the law of sin and death. But we're ambassadors to serve a purpose. We're supposed to represent heaven, and we're supposed to enforce the peace and set people free. We're not ambassadors of heaven with this humongous table loaded with the good word of God so we can kick back and kind of live a life. You know, I've been saying for 20 years that this is a life and death ministry. But I'll tell you, God is really raising me up to a new understanding of what that means. We have ministered life and healing to many, many people in many, many countries. But it's a drop in the bucket to what we can do when you and I wake up and become the watchman on the wall for the country. Not just praying in tongues, but using the knowledge that God has given us, because we know what's going to happen and when it's going to happen, and started praying and declaring the end from the beginning. So making the choice, John 15:13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man laid on his life for his friends. We saw 700, close to 750,000 Americans lay down their lives for their family, friends, and for strangers in this country. We see 2,000 Christians a week laying down their lives for their friend Jesus. And what God wants us to do is not die for the gospel, but die to sin and die to self and raise up with the spirit of life in us as a super conqueror. That we get up and say, we are an adult in the family of God, and we're going to change the world this day and every single day. Because whether or not you do it was determined whether some people live or die. So we first need to make a choice. Do we want to be what God has called us to be? Do we want to be what God has been preparing this church to do? So we make a choice. Do we have that love? And then Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Notice the word is start with denying yourself. You got to deny yourself to live for Jesus. You've got to deny yourself to live for Jesus. It's got to be God first, and you're just a vessel for His Holy Spirit to flow through. Matthew 10:39. He that finds his life shall lose it. He was focused on achieving his life's goal, which goals God never gave him, and enjoying his life and living his life, shall lose his life, shall die. But he who loses his life to be a vessel for Jesus, to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, who loses one's life to give up one's personality, one likes, one dislikes, one goals, one possessions, everything, to be more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that person will find his life. I mean, I found my life when I said, Lord, I've done everything you wanted. Now I'm ready to come home. And that's when he taught me, you don't have to die. You don't have to die. That's finding your life. I don't have to die. I'm not going to die. Because I have life in me, and life drives out death. So we make a choice. Only you can make a choice. And then we prepare the way. John the Baptist prepared the way for the coming of Jesus as the Lamb of God. And Jesus wants the way prepared for him for when he's coming back. Luke 18:8 said, "When I come back, shall I find faith?" Well, I'm saying, "Yes, Lord, when you come back, you're going to find faith here in me and in ABC. The faith to believe your word. That whatever you say in your word, we believe it, even when we don't understand it. Even when everybody's saying it's crazy to believe that. How can you believe you won't die? Very simple. It's all over the Bible. John 6, verse 56, I believe. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Not as your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. He that eats this bread, he that eats my body, shall never die." But you see, that's not just so we can live and enjoy this world and the things in the world to come. No, it's so we can be representatives of Jesus and do what he would want us to do and continue the work he came for, which is to set the captives free. We are to set the captives free. So just as John the Baptist prepared the way for the coming of Jesus as the Lamb of God, we are to prepare the way for the return of the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we see that in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 through 17, that we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with him. We are alive and remain shall be caught up with him. To be alive means you have to overcome every challenge that's coming up in the world. How do you do that? Watch and pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape all these things coming up in the earth. And lose your life in him. Meaning, let him use you to set people free. He's in the business of setting people free. So to do that, long before I even knew what he was doing, God has set up a growth path for ABC. We have 7.5 years of formal schools. 7.5 years of formal schools. That doesn't include all the teachings on Friday and Sundays, which are online. The schools, what do we have? We have the Bible College, which is 1 year. Healing School, which is 1.5 years. School of Dominion, 1.5 years. 3 semesters of 1/2 a year each. The Book of Revelation is 1 year. Living and Not Dying is 1 year. And the graduate school is 1.5 years. That's 7.5 years. I call these stepping stones of victory. ABC stepping stones of victory. Assembling of the body of Christ. Bible says, as the day of the Lord returns, do not forsake the assembling of the body of Christ. Locally, via the internet, you want to get the word, and you want to have a body that when you need prayer support, you can call the body to get it. So the Bible College, for those of you who have not taken it, is to understand your rights in Christ Jesus. You understand your rights in Christ Jesus, what belongs to you. You also understand the 12 kinds of prayers. That is the only place we teach all 12 kinds of prayers. We teach some of them here and there, but as a place where you teach all 12 so you can understand the differences, etc. That's the only place we teach them. Healing School Semester 1. What's the stepping stone? The power of the spoken word. You need to know the power of the spoken word. You need to know the 40 reasons, the 40 wonderful things that happen when you speak the word of God. We ought to do a teaching, Pastor Matthew, on the number of terrible things happen when you speak the word of the devil. Right? The contrast to that. We should Think about putting together a module like that. So here in school, semester one, you learn how to confess sins and why. And you learn how to break curses. Here in school, semester two, you learn the pentacademy, the five parts of the man, how they work together. And that is the foundation for all the schools beyond it. If you don't understand the pentacademy, and in semester, here in school semester two, the requirement is, one of the requirement is that you pray in tongues. If you don't pray in tongues, the prayers from then on are not going to be very effective. And you can run into a lot of problems in your life, with challenges in your life, if you're not, if you've been taking those classes without praying in tongues. Here in school semester two, you learn the pentacademy. You learn how to establish the kingdom of God. You learn that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are not the same, and what the differences are. The escalator, the fruit of the Spirit, how to draw closer to God, how to allow God to draw you closer to Him through what we call the escalator of the fruit of the Spirit. Semester three, we learn cleansing and the powerful prayer, three witnesses prayer, which will not work if you don't pray in tongues on a regular basis. Certainly won't work if you don't pray in tongues, period. School of Dominion, semesters 1, 2, and 3. You learn to enforce dominion over yourself, your body. You know, as John G. Lake said, if you want to have dominion over disease, demons, and death, start with dominion over your own body. Powerful words. So you enforce dominion over yourself, over natural things. Natural things such as earth, wind, fire, water, heavenless, animals and plants, like the earthquake that just started a while ago. Okay? One we just had as I was standing here preaching. Okay? I heard you all yelling, and I'm thinking, whoa, what am I doing that you're all yelling at me? But they were actually yelling at the earthquake. I didn't even notice it until you guys told me. So that was a 7.1 earthquake, folks. Yeah, 7.1 in Ridgecrest, okay? And so, Father, we just pray for all the people in Ridgecrest, primarily, first and foremost, for all the believers, Gentile believers, Messianic believers, first for those, then for all those who are seeking God, and also, Lord, we loose your will and your mercy and your grace for everybody who's there, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. It's the will of God that none be lost, but all be saved. Thank you, Father, for protection. And Father, we thank you, based on Isaiah 65, verse 24, you do answer our prayers even before we pray it. So even before the earthquake came, we loose these prayers in that area where the 7.1 was centered so that the damage would be minimal and death and injury would be minimal or non-existent. Okay? In Jesus' name. Indefinitely among the believers. So, School of Dominion, semester 1, 2, and 3. Enforcing dominion over yourself, over natural things, the spiritual world, over the kingdoms of man, but not over man. We can't enforce dominion over man. That's witchcraft. Darkness, animal, and nature. A good prayer is in the name of Jesus. Nothing, no evil of the kingdom of man, of darkness, of animal, or nature can affect my home, me, or my property. In the name of Jesus, no evil from earth, wind, fire, water, or the heavenlies can affect my home or property, or my city or my neighborhood. However, God leads you to pray. That covers them all. Book of Revelation. Understanding the ending day scenarios. Understanding what's going to happen and what is required of us. What is required of us to go through them and what is required of us as part of the body of Christ as we go into the ending days as part of our calling. Living and not dying. And what do we teach? How to live and not die. That's a really hard one. Living and not dying. Another way of looking at it is, how do you remain alive until Jesus returns? By living and not dying. Graduate school, semester one. Understanding the kingdoms of the ending days. How they interact, what it all means to us. Graduate school, semester two. Understanding the four major themes of the Bible and how they culminate in the end time events. These things that are happening in the book of Revelation are not happening in a vacuum separate from the rest of the Bible. They are a spiritual and natural culmination of from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. That's why once you understand it, there's not a question like, you know, I hope this is true. No, it has to happen that way. You know, God said you must love him with your heart, soul, and mind. That means it has to be logical. Because your mind is logical. He created our minds logical. And finally, graduate school semester three, preparing the way for the return of the Son of Man. And that's really powerful and full of specific things we're supposed to do. But we can't do them until we grow up through it. So, I know this may be an unusual 4th of July message, but what I'm saying in a nutshell is all these wonderful men and women who died so we have this freedom, let's not just take it for granted. Let's take our freedom to respond to God's calling in our life in these ending days, and let's prepare the way for the return of Jesus. And to do that, incidentally, you stay alive and you don't die. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's give the Lord a big round of applause. Thank you, Jesus.